Welcome back.
Doctrinal issues. And we're looking at planting churches. I want to ask again, Pastor Weston, but before you come in.
Okay.
We have so many believers online around the world. They have decided to leave their churches because nowhere else to go. We want to look at it from a scriptural perspective now. How are we going to take care of them? Will they now remain in their houses? How will they be taken care of?
Thank you very much for this question.
Because you know this phenomena is a phenomena. Mm-hmm. We've not known this before. Mm-hmm. That people can just listen to a broadcast and take such decision. So now they have had it, they suddenly discover they are in very, very wrong places. So what next when they get out?
You know, if you look at the people that became believers under Paul, Timothy, Titus, and the rest of them, were having a religion. They are actually idol worshippers, or, you know, they have temples even. You know, Temple of Diana, you heard of it and all of that. So,
Ephesus, yes.
So when they had the gospel, they came out, some of them came, burned their curious books, what we will call their own Bible or things like that. They scatter them and they now, you know, become submissive to the ministry or to the word of God that they have had through Paul. You know, in Acts chapter 18 or there about, Paul has to stay 2 years in Ephesus teaching them the word of God. I think 1 year, 6 months or so in Corinth. So to answer your question, what we are preaching today, as if we are preaching to people to see the truth of what the apostolic ministry is. And so when they hear the gospel, certainly what they were believing or what they were standing for, they discover that it is completely outside of the Bible. And now they want to do what the Bible says. So to such people, it is not right to encourage them that, okay, they just sit before a television and all. They need to come together in fellowship because they have to test what fellowship is like. So, and this is why I have always believed that, okay, in that instance now, you will say, okay, Brother Chris, you know, probably he's from Imo or from a Kwara or whatever he is from. My brother, there is these believers in so-and-so place, please, will you take our time and go there so that they will have you around, you try to talk to them, preach to them, and then over the time, maybe like 2 months, 3 months, and then you are able to see one or two people that have pastoral gift, looking at the qualification, and then you ordain them an elder there, and then bless them, and he comes back to wherever he has been doing, where he is. That's a work he has done there for like 6 months, or like 2 months, or like 3 months, as the case may be. But he has returned back to his station. And then probably in Adamawa State or in Yola, you know, I am closely in Jos. And then people will have called here and said, ah, we have some 5, 6, 7, 20 believers that are there. We do not expect that you are going to travel there. Bro, Weston, please, we have this, our brethren that are there, and then they have believed, you know. Could you try to see how they could be settled down there? And I leave Jos, I travel there, and then we have the believers there. Over the years, their questions are answered and all of that. You know, weekly fellowship continue. After a while, we should be able to see from among them who has that grace to pastor the church. And then he is being ordained as an elder, and they left them. So such people, they will always fall back to the ministry that brought them. So what we kick against is that after you do that, you now tell them there is a manual. This is what you must preach this Sunday. This is what you must do. So that's manipulation. Or that if you take your offering, bring 60% to us, or bring 80, that is what is wrong.
Since you don't have a pastor yet, the tithe.
The tithe and the offering comes. We are not even going there. You know why? Because we are not even going there. So, but if we say because of what the structure we see today, that because of what they are doing to it, that is why we want to run away from it, it will be throwing the baby with the bathwater. What they are doing is wrong. It's not as if that structure is a bad structure, but because of their selfish interest, the so-called GOs or whatever they call themselves, you know, that's what they are doing that is wrong. But that the structure in itself, in the sense of pushing the gospel, you know, to form coordination and fellowship and togetherness, it is the right thing to do, so that whenever there is an issue, you can always know who to fall back to. If Chris maybe has stayed in Imo or any part, you know, so when they answer, they don't necessarily have to call you. Say, our brother has been here with us for a while. We have this issue, sir. could you come over? He could just travel there and then see to it that one of these things happened. And he returned back to his local assembly. So we work as a team.
I want to get this very clear because I am also in the center of it all. I've not seen that pattern anywhere. And I think we need teachers of the gospel like you for us to learn from. Because you seem to be, it looks like you have run this system before from the way you are. Because you talk with so much authority. Now, what do you see in what I have been doing lately? I've got some ministers here that I sent out. We are many ministers here. Some of them work with me here as associate pastors. One of them is supposed to be going to Umuahia here. One is at Ikorodu, going to Ikorodu. And then one is in Akwanga, sent to Akwanga, one to Oweri. And then we are thinking again of sending another one to Onitsha. Now, how are we supposed to relate with this type of setting?
Very good. Now, before I even directly answer your question, you know, I have been associating with you for a long time.
Sure.
You know, and what gave birth to the ministry in Jos, when we had a program in Akwanga.
Exactly.
And then online members from Jos, I saw quite a number of people.
Yes.
You know, that came there. And it became a burden, obviously, in my heart, that these people can't be left to be running up and down. Because even when they are referred to other churches, you know, end time cycle, as we may put it, you know, it's either they disagree with them or they say, well, we don't believe that and all of that.
Exactly.
So they keep them to float. And that gave back to the burden to why we have a local church in Jos now, you know. So now, back to your question. Of course, that is the right thing. You know, if online members are 50, 60 in Umuahia, you know, Were, in Ojo or somewhere like that, and they are just there.
Ikorodu.
What are the ministers in Brand Assembly doing? They have been trained, they have been here, they have had the word of God. So they go out. They are to be sent out, and certainly since they have an overseer here, you are sent to go there so that you can, you know, build the people up there and stand there. He may not necessarily end up being even the shepherd there, but for the mentor, maybe it could be 2 years, it could be 3 years, it could be 4 years, it could be that forever he is going to be there.
Okay.
It could be that he's there after a while, you know, you see somebody who has a pastoral grace there, and he probably ordained him, and he may return back to base after 2, 4, 5, 6 years.
Exactly.
He may also stay there.
Exactly.
You know, so you now know that also, because maybe another part of the East again, that is another, so we know that, okay, he has been able to do the job here.
He can,
so he's
somewhere
now sent
else.
Also there now,
yes,
to go and do the work, because this is the master's work. This is the master's work.
That's,
we are
right,
trying to make sure that the people stay true to the word of God. Nobody should have that idea of I am stationed there, because I have just noticed it. I kept reading the scripture. I saw Timothy was in Thessalonica. Timothy was in Philippi. Timothy was in Corinth. Timothy was in Ephesus.
Right.
You know, at one point, Paul will say, okay, when you come to me, I'm going to send the other brother there. They have worked in such an understanding and unison to such an extent that they understand themselves. You could, but after a while, you say, ah, brother, please, we have this issue. We need you to come and speak to us over time on this issue. I come over, I speak for a while, and after a while, I know that, okay, I need Brother Chris around now. Because of this grace I see in his life. So he comes also, and you know, speaks. So we work as cooperating ministers. But where it is, the church is coming up, because a lot of audience of Brand Assembly, you know, when they come together and it's a fellowship started, surely, either it is Pastor Summers or it is Pastor Zoe, you know, that brother, we need you to go over there and take care of it. You should gladly do it, because, you know, we are furthering the gospel and to establish the people in the faith. Now, why do I keep emphasizing that? It is not just so that somebody is somewhere and is remote controlling people, but that for the purpose of coordination and fellowship. That is the reason why those people cannot be left to be sitting on television every day. They don't, look at the ones we have in Gombe.
Yes.
You know, they are there, and they are, you know, more than 7, 8, 9. They are increasing in number. And they used to come to Just a Fellowship. The one from Kavanchan, they are coming to Just a Fellowship. We don't like it that way.
That's right.
So we felt that with time now, I could go to Kavanchan, you know, maybe stay 2 or 3 weeks with them, and then, okay, brother, the grace is there. So he begins to pastor the church. If once in a while he will need me, or he will need Brother Chris, because over time we get to know each other.
Know each other,
brother,
yes,
please come over. He stays a weekend with them. Another one comes. It could even be Gabriel who will be sent there.
It could also be me too. I can go and stay in Akwanga for like, yes, like, of course. Like 3 years.
It should be because Paul like, have stayed in Ephesus
like 3 years in Akwanga.
That's right.
Eating me and kuka and throwing shinkafa, you know, and then
so
preaching the gospel.
So that in your absence, you know that as you are living, there is somebody you know that I can take care of the church here, you know, and you are there doing the work. You could be in Europe, you could, because I believe with all my heart, where this thing is going to, we can't quantify it.
That's up.
And the earlier we get our acts together, the better.
The better.
You do not know where Chris will be now in the next 5 years. He could be Italy.
It's true.
He could be anywhere. He could just go there and then for the next 3, 4, 5 in the summer, before you know, he's doing a great job for the Lord there. All the online members, he has been able to coordinate them and he returned back to base.
Exactly.
So when we walk, we know our interest is not what we can get from the people. Our interest is the people.
It's the people.
That is our concern. So it's not that there is a Lord over us, because Peter has already told us, don't just take the oversight, but don't lord it over them. How do we see a sign of a Lord? Nobody can correct him. Nobody can talk to him. He does not allow the liberty of the Spirit to operate in the church. Anybody that does anything that he doesn't like, that is when he now wants to act like a lion. That's not what we're talking about. And certainly we didn't see that happening, or else this ministry would not have been what it is today.
It's true.
We have seen a ministry whereby people are allowed to show their grace, they are allowed to, they are encouraged to bring out what is in them.
That's right.
So, and when that is the case, that is when the thing can now flow, people can move. And what we are saying is that we are not talking about you bringing money to the headquarter, or you must preach this thing or don't preach this thing. In fact, coming to practicality, because my concern is that why does this thing happen? For example, Akwanga, you know, it's born out of your ministry. You have visited there, you have had crusade there, and then a church is born there.
Mm.
And then we had a minister that was there, you know. And over time, we kept receiving report that he was working disorderly.
Mm.
He's beginning to privatize the ministry. He's beginning to want to start something that is contrary to the scripture. He begins to write constitution that gives him power as the sole owner of the church.
Yes.
And when he was confronted with fact, we discovered that, you know, he was actually going away from the vision of the apostles, which was what was carried there. And then financially also, he was misbehaving. You know, he was not transparent in his financial affair, because do you know that even the apostle Paul, when he told Timothy, he said, the elders who rule well, they should be counted worthy of double
honor. Worthy, double
so
honor.
You that's place true. Them double honor. We yes. are not talking about the some setup whereby the entire tithe of the church comes to one man.
No,
that's not the criminality we are discussing. Apology to those that are doing it. You know. So that's not what we are discussing, you know. But that surely the elders should be taken. Paul has spelled it out. We have the template, is there. It's just that whether we have the will and the honesty to want to operate it. So when we looked at it and we look at the pastors and together with the elders, brother, you are working disorderly. And he does not seem to show a change out of it. So, and the church was not ready, the church was not doing well based on that attitude.
Exactly.
So he was eased out of that responsibility. Another person was now sent to take care of it. So that tells you that nobody can walk, you know, unruly. Nobody is allowed to walk the way he likes. That is actually a discipline. That's okay. What Timothy was told. He said, those who are misbehaving, discipline them openly when they show repentance, and that you don't even get quick in ordaining elders. Be careful to observe that these attributes are there. Then you put them there. Even while they are there, you have that oversight or supervisory role over them. That way, both them and the church knew that, okay, we are going to walk only in line with the scripture. And anybody who gets out of the scripture, that is discipline.
There'll be a question coming up.
Yeah.
Because we are looking at two angles. And I think we are dwelling on one angle. Pastor Chris, for instance. Pastor Chris has his ministry. Saw the entire message from your sermon, sir. And believed it. Now, how... from the line at which you are going, if Pastor Chris, for instance, does something the members of the church does not understand, and let's say somebody that watches Bright TV is a member of his church, for instance, and the person says, oh no, this is not how it is done in Bright Assembly. Now, how would that person correct that matter or present that matter to Pastor Moses, who knows Pastor Chris as an ordained minister already, that saw the entire message and came in? Now, how would they handle it? Because if it takes, for instance, that Pastor Chris should be stepped down and somebody should be placed over there, I don't think that would be possible with the way we are saying, because Pastor Chris already was established before he met the end.
All right. Now, this is how it is. Very simple.
Yes.
Look at Pastor Chris here now. You know. He calls Pastor Moses his father in the Lord. not because he forced it on him. He on his own. He felt that it's something he has learned
he
and gotten from there. You know, I don't want us to use that word. So the issue of maybe something is going wrong in the assembly, you know, something he doesn't understand is he calls him on his own without even the issue of whether somebody need to get there. Ah, my brother, this one and this one. We do that a lot with him.
Okay.
We do that a lot. So we're not looking at the negativity of it. Because from the starting, Pastor Moses didn't force himself on Pastor Chris.
No.
He didn't.
No.
You see that? So that's where the starting point. It was a relationship that started between two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he encouraged him to where he is, and he appreciated that. And if you have encouraged me and brought me thus far, surely you have my welfare in heart. So when there is an issue, I will just simply discuss with my brother and he puts me in place. Or even let's say a member is now calling and he's trying to say something. Pastor Moses will not want to relate with that member. He will simply call his co-minister. My brother, this and this and this and this and this issue. What do you think about it? So they trash it out together. But if he has decided he wants to be on his own, he wants to use up. If you know Diotrephes, that's why I brought Diotrephes into it.
Exactly.
Apostle John wrote him letter, but he wasn't ready to regard the letter. So, and he said he was pranting and refused our instruction. You have that case. So John said, when I come, I will let him understand what he has done, that it was not supposed to be so. But he was not encouraging another brother because they even put him out of the church because of his welfare life, the way he was good. So such cases come up. And then when the person have declared that he doesn't even want to be part of that system, you of course don't force him. You will not force him on him. So on this part, this is how to handle it.
Okay, there's something else. In the case of, how would I put it now? Pastor Moses. I'm using the pastors here, so.
Yeah, we are the only pastors here. You are not a pastor.
Okay.
So.
Okay, so I can fire on. Now, sir, as a pastor, Pastor Moses is a local pastor. You are a local pastor in Jos. Pastor Chris is also a local pastor. Now, how should the title be changed? Because from what we are reading and seeing, Apostle Paul was the only person involved in doing things like this, sending somebody, plant this, come back to your church, do this. And like I said before, was it because it was the foundation laying time? That was why this was happening, or this is how it is supposed to be? Because if we say this is how it's supposed to be, then where do we place a pastor that now has the opportunity to see that, okay, there's need for a minister to be here, and he sends him? Does that remove him from his office as a local pastor and place him somewhere else?
No, it does not remove him from there at all. In fact, okay, let me come back to this example. Look at Pastor Chris here now. You know, he's somewhere at Ojo. Maybe a little distance far away from him. He decided he see, you know, some brethren are coming up there. You know, without recourse to me or to anybody, he goes there, encourage them in the Lord. Once in a while, he goes there. He keep going there. And before you know it now, he discovered that, these people, they can stay together. They can be a fellowship. He ordains an elder there in the church. But as young as they are coming up, they will always want to revert back to him. He goes there, encourages them in the Lord, and he comes back. They are a church already standing. They are ministers, so they keep looking back to him. Yeah, that doesn't mean that he has left his local assembly. He did not leave his local assembly. But that for a time now, he has only planned a church there. Like, after a while now, I think Pastor Moses will be in Europe.
Okay.
The 2 weeks could be 2 years. That doesn't mean he's not the pastor of Bright Assembly. You know? So it doesn't mean, if Pastor Chris stayed away for like maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks, or you know, as it is, he has an able associate who takes responsibility
sure,
in the church.
Sure.
Because he has only grown to another level of responsibility that he knows. So I need to be here because it's the body of Christ we are building, not our body. Exactly. So he need to be there to carry on this young girl. If it takes him 3 weeks, maybe 2 months, once he's done with that, he comes back. So you see, he has now some children that when they have an issue, they will revert back to him. So when we work in that cooperation, in that line, you will see that we will eliminate this schism, this fight, this, you know, the divergent voices that comes every now and then. You know, and that doesn't take away the fact that I am Pastor Chris, we may have a differing position on the issue. We surely have, or I am Pastor Moses. But they are as silent as they are. They don't, because it's not the issue.
Don't
of,
tear us apart.
It doesn't tear us apart. You know, that's why you could see they could come to the Council of Jerusalem, they could talk, and then Paul writing to the Philippians that, you know, these things he told them, this is how they are, but that if they are otherwise minded about it, that's the whole church. If they think different about it, like him, he said, let's not argue over that. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to them. But the ones we have already agreed, say, let us dwell on that. So now, that's the maturity of the ministry.
In supervising that church, because I want you to spell it out.
Okay.
What is your advice on how to take care of the online members here in diaspora? We are everywhere.
Yes.
How do we take care of them? How do we get them fed and taken care of to also give them the opportunity to enjoy the benefit of fellowship?
Now, maybe my brother here in his assembly, he may have some ministers. Probably they have not become strong as he may want them to be. Or let's say bright assembly.
Okay, like I can ask him to give me some ministers.
Thank you. I need laborers. Do you have those ones
something.
That you
yeah,
know
yeah,
that you
true.
Have?
It's
you
true.
Have seasoned very well. We
it's
need
true.
To send them somewhere. You
it's
know.
True.
So we need to send them somewhere.
I think it has happened to me.
Okay.
More categories. So that I must commend your vast knowledge about these things. Mm.
Because you tend to give us a lot of definitions. Because you see, hitherto the entire message has been in a state of I don't want to say confusion. People are now very individualistic.
That's right.
When it comes to these affairs. And
fact,
nobody,
there's no leadership.
There's no leadership
that's
anywhere.
Right, that's right. That's
and
right.
Like you said something, there is a platform, but platform does not run itself.
That's right.
It is people that actually run it.
Yes,
so it is when the people run it wrongly that we speak against.
That's right.
Now, I think your vast knowledge about this is, they are very encouraging, I must say. It happened to me while I had the message. I found that my knowledge was not sufficient, you know, to give the people what God actually needed from me. And to be humble enough is what is a lot of people's problem.
God bless you.
I decided to do this, to ask pastor here to send me ministers at that certain time.
That's yes. Right.
Of which he obliged me.
See?
Many times, many times. Up till the point where I came to a point I can say I came to the full knowledge of the word of God.
That's right.
And they were not coming.
That's right.
If there be any minister who is young at heart or in the message and needs such support or help, we should not falter. Give them that support.
That's right.
It is not in any way controlling
no,
them.
It's not.
It is not in any way pushing them.
It's not.
It is actually making sure that the word is established in them.
Chris.
Yes.
You know why it was easy to support you?
Oh, okay.
You did not ask us for financial assistance. Now, the truth is, a lot of these people that have come to me,
okay,
what they actually wanted was a financial support base.
Okay.
Because that is what I saw many of them.
Mm.
And if it is not about getting souls, I certainly can't cooperate with such.
That's right.
You know, because somebody will be listening to us now.
Very true.
We are talking about the spread of the gospel.
Yes.
We are talking about establishing the believers. Of course, any effort you put in,
yes,
you know, any effort we can support, we will do that. Even if it is financial. But when that is the primary motive
is wrong.
Because people are coming to us and then they are telling us we want to pay for a place of worship. We want to buy instruments. That is why I've come to submit my ministry to you. And that is their own idea of submission. Of course, certainly I won't go for that because I know the purpose you are coming is different. But that is why it's going to be very, very difficult for people like us. So this is the kind of problem I am facing.
Yes.
For the first time, this scripture became meaningful to me. I never got the meaning. When Christ said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few.
Yes.
I used to say, how can Christ say the laborers are few? See, church is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see response to our ministry worldwide, and now we lack people to send out there that we collect them and keep them and feed them and take care of them. This is the only time that scripture has become meaningful. Because the truth is, right now, We have phone calls. We have messages. We have we have letters. We have text messages. Emails. People are telling us we are here. We need fellowship. Who can you have? Do you have any members around here? We can meet any church around. We started by saying, oh, there are people who believe in the ministry of William Branham. We will look for address, the nearest address to them. When they go there, they say, no, this is not Bride. No, this is not Bride. When we went there, we saw this. They don't even believe in this. No, Pastor, so I've decided to sit in my home, both in Nigeria here, in other African countries, and even in Europe. So this is the problem we have. I pray that people who have genuine call, God will bring them for us to work to fulfill this agenda. And that...
Yes, I quickly want to add something.
Yes.
We must not play with church when it comes to soul winning.
Exactly.
If, peradventure, you discover that somebody is financially motivated, quote, and he's submitting to you, such a person has lost the calling.
He has lost it.
So you are not obligated in any way to support such, because putting your stamp to such is supporting abnormality. And that will not be a church. That will be a business center. So, of course, what you do is to actually scrutinize. Okay, give me time to pray. Let me know what the Lord is saying. Because most times we want to be quick at giving people answers, whereas we have to ask God or to search our conscience to know this ministry, are we going to be in support? Because if we say we are not going to financially, you know, support people, we might not actually get the need that the church is looking for. But because sometimes people, because of these messages, are kicked out of a lot of places.
Sure.
They are embarrassed. They are persecuted.
Sure.
In fact, they are disenfranchised. Whatever they need might come to you as, is it the need of the moment? Or is this man trying to get a favor? If the need is not to empower the world or give the people, the souls, what they should need, we will not go for it. So as a church, you have beautifully said it, the laborers are few.
Very few. Very, very few.
The laborers are few is not that God is that there are no people, but there are no people that are world-minded.
To add to what he's saying.
Yes.
You know, that word labor, hard work.
Not everybody is laboring.
It's not enjoyment. When you say somebody is laboring, it's inconvenient.
That's right.
It's not convenient.
Oh, yes.
So it is those ones, even that Paul told Timothy, when you notice those that are working hard, pay them well or remunerate them very well. So, and that is the one that when Jesus says that the laborer is worthy
of his wages.
Of his wages.
That's right.
So when the person, first of all, doesn't want to go and labor, he just want convenience. He just want where it is
comfort.
Like I was telling the brethren, I say, if for anything we have to go to Gombe, we are not going to find a comfortable place. So if you think that every day you must drink Ragoli's water, learn to drink any kind of water. We may not kind the kind of food we want to, because we must go there and feel what the people are feeling.
That's right.
Eat what they are eating. We must be like them. We cannot be high up there. We are just no big men over them. No, we must come to their level. They are our brethren. We feel like they feel. We relate with them. So when somebody will have to go somewhere, he is going to labor. Definitely, it's not a pleasure. So when he does not want to labor, that is how Paul dealt with the matter. They started moving. John Mark became very lazy and weak. He said he refused to go with her because the journey became hard. He saw persecution and discomfort. He ran back. So when they want to go by the sun, they say, we cannot take John Mark back. Because if you are not willing to labor, surely you are after what you can eat. And these are people like Demas. After a while, they become disenchanted with Paul. So he's blocking our chance. He doesn't want us to charge money. He doesn't want us this. He doesn't want that. What kind of person is this? So he has to quickly just withdraw. And we will find them today. They say, this strictness is too much. This is too much. It's too much. So they want to go their way.
Yes.
Of course, they should be allowed to go.
Of course.
But all the church must be informed that so-so person has left us, and this is the reason why he left.
That's
so
right.
You are aware, you are warned. Stay clear, if not, they are wolves. So you just know that, because that's why it's, when it becomes a cooperative ministry, you know, it's just natural. How did you flow naturally with Chris?
Exactly.
You know, it's just natural. You just see that, okay, there is a passion in this place. All he wants is the gospel. Let the gospel stand. Let the people of God be liberated. Let them know the truth and stand. And that's just the issue of assistance. It don't flow naturally. You could just see that it don't flow. Exactly. But the moment you notice a motive is very clear. Mm. And once you know that motive is wrong, you must not use sentiment in the ministry.
You must deal with it as
you
this.
You must not never use sentiment. Yes. But that we cannot. It's okay. Ah, I need that. Go and start in a parlor. Go and start somewhere. Go and try to do something. Let's begin to see. Let's the labor start first. Then we can now put in effort and see how we can support it, and because we want it to grow. So, and that is just what it is.
But
you are talking. Hey!
It's Pastor, bringing more.
Pastor Weston, it's getting very interesting.
That's right.
We're in a Laodicean church age. We're in an age of nobody wants to suffer.
Exactly.
And that's the reason why I said the laborers are few. Christ himself said it. He said, the harvest is precious. He said, but the laborers, people don't want to labor anymore. But he said, we should pray for the Lord of the harvest to send laborers. And I know he will send the laborers.
Amen. He will.
You know, because
he certainly will.
My idea is, my prayer is for God to give me people exactly. I never knew that you had this in mind. Where I can have people I can work with.
That's right.
Go here, establish here. When it is established, plant, raise a pastor, find it, come back to base. If there's another place again, move over there. Plant the people there, establish them there,
come back
to base. You know, we never followed this way before. So this is strange to us in the message. You know, but I believe that people will soon, you know, get to see this. Before we take a break, is it another word for supervision? Mentorship. Pastor Weston, before Pastor Chris will comment.
So vision is not the same as mentorship.
What is mentorship?
When it comes to mentorship, is trying to train and to bring up, you know, somebody who, and you know, it's two way, you know. I cannot mentor who is not willing, who doesn't want me to mentor, to coach him, to train him, mm-hmm. to come to an understanding of how things are done. And you know, without even trying to give it a name, as he is now in his church, he is already mentoring people.
Yep,
there are people that are there, they are watching how he does it, when he come out, how he preaches the gospel, how he counsels, how he takes it, so they are following. Quickly, he will begin to see the people who are having interest quickly.
Now, somebody come to me, Pastor Moses, I want you to be my mentor. How do I respond?
Well, that's what I'm confused about. Maybe Chris should help me when they say like that.
I think the word in the denominational setting is poros, as it were. Let's have what they tend to want us to understand.
Okay.
First and foremost, a mentor is
because
somebody
you know
who...
You were very deep in the denomination.
Yes. And I think I have this edge to understand what they mean.
Yeah.
And I feel so much pity for them. Because you say some nasty things in beautiful words. Because mentoring is just simple. You train somebody. You are coaching the person as to what he or she is not used to. And when it comes to spiritual things or the word of God, once you are not used to that, you are trained. And anybody who says somebody should be his mentor should sit down and learn. If you come from outside, are you sitting down to learn? So that is out of it. It's not mentorship. That's not mentorship. Because a mentor is somebody who trains you. You are there like Christ and his disciples.
Hey. That's right. Okay.
That is where the point is. They were there with him.
That's right.
And for 3.5 years,
right.
He could send them.
That's right.
And he could say in Matthew 28, go ye therefore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That going, therefore, was a result of proper mentorship. You cannot come from somewhere and badge in to a man who is, in your own idea, established. So this established, let me quickly make him my godfather. I think that is witchcraft.
Yeah.
It is manipulation. You are trying to manipulate the man. It is not. You must be able to be discipled. That is a discipleship. Yes.
You are to collapse whatever structure you say you have.
That is right.
You come and sit down and now learn.
Very
you
correct.
You are not a student. You have come to learn because you know that there is something I must learn. So you very are correct. Just there as a nobody, as it were. Yet the gift is there. And yes. You know, somebody like David, you see that he was anointed. The oil was poured on him. But even though he killed Goliath, God knew that he was not ready for that war.
Mm-hmm.
He pushed him to the wilderness for many years. God has to tolerate King Saul, but he has to prepare this one himself for long, so many years to be able to bring him there. So if David felt, oh, well, I just killed Goliath, what is it? I can do it myself. And it's not by because you do a one chance something. God has to train him through certain level of understanding, you know, his character, his disposition, and all of that. And you don't learn it over one day or 2 days.
No,
don't learn it by, sir, this one, how do I do it? And no, you come and sit down, and then you are sent here, you are brought back, just like he said. So you don't even have to say, wait, like, you go about it, my mentor. That's humility goes into it.
That's right.
You come, you sit down, and you learn all through, and then you grow.
But the person somebody that is mentored, can he be controlled by the person that mentored him?
No,
we're not talking about control. No, control is out of it.
What I'm saying is, you cannot take up responsibility until you go through mentorship.
You know, he used the word that the way they abuse. I don't want us to be using that one. I don't know why because from the way from the way they look at it and the way they go about
yes,
it.
Yes, that is the denomination.
So,
yes.
Okay, let's even add, okay, it's mentorship. Okay, Nat, you are here in Brand Assembly now. You know, practically all of the ministers there, one way or the other, you have mentored them without necessarily say them calling you
a mentor.
Yeah, mentor. That's they don't have to call you. Mm-hmm. You know, both your IT people and different people, you know, there's a way you have put them through certain things and they are willing to learn and they learn and they have become master, have a leader over
they've
them
had
who
over
has
you,
guided them. And so right. If we want to say, okay, you mentor them, it's all right. But you see, there's no any... that
there's no title. There's no title attached to it. Mentorship. I'm a mentor.
When it was working. And it worked. And there are quite a number of them that have grown and then they will be able to beat their chest and say, okay, I've known this thing that I can do it now.
No, I think the word mentor is an English word that defines something.
Yes.
Because somebody wants to ask you, who is your mentor? That is, who brought you up? And there must be somebody who brought you up.
You didn't just fall down from somewhere.
Who brought
you up? Yes, that's what it is.
Up. The disciples, who brought them up?
Christ.
Christ himself.
That's why they were called Christians.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Then Apostle Paul.
People like Titus, Timothy.
Yes.
He brought them up, you know, okay.
Exactly. So that is, now I want to ask, the idea of mentorship is important.
It's important.
Oh, now yes. I say that, should it be a prerequisite for taking up responsibility?
Now this is how I see it, and I think I've always talked with you. You know, we have cooperative ministers.
Yeah.
It is only necessary that quarterly or, you know, twice in a year, we all come together as ministering brethren. You know, and then, you know, we it's not just a, this one stand up and preach, that one stand up and preach. There is a topic in mind, there's a subject we want to handle all the way. You know, maybe within among ourselves, there is somebody that, you know, you notice the grace, he could handle that matter. So we are training the trainers themselves. You know, but by the word of God, all the same. So when we do that regularly, we discover that we come, we refresh ourselves, we hear, we understand, we ask questions within ourselves. These are ministers, and we ask questions, not just doctrinal things that we are trying to create quarrel.
It could be based on administration.
God bless you.
Church administration.
You know, how to deal with issue of quarreling, couples, how were you able to handle this?
Yes.
I have this matter, I will not able. So we just came and we learned from one another. But of course, we have somebody who over the years he has come to know and have managed in a larger scale. So he brings his wealth of experience to bear. So we go back and we have an understanding, you know. So we keep going on. It's about that body.
So
that
you are encouraging cooperating
ministers. Oh, very, very well. Very, very well.
To come regularly together.
That's right.
Maybe we will start by coming to Jos.
or probably it could be called a ministers' conference.
Thank you. What
people where people go and they rub minds together.
Yes.
I think sometimes the problem of the church might not, especially the end time, it might not be on doctrinal issues, because sometimes we find that a church is not administratively balanced.
That's right.
So it creates problems.
It creates so much problem. And then it magnifies.
Yes.
It trickles into other affairs.
That's right.
And you might be thinking the pastor is incapable.
Yeah.
Not knowing he does not have the administrative skills.
That's right.
Sometimes my idea, my where I handled an issue could be of a help to you.
That's true.
I could remember one of the times I came to him. There was an issue. A woman was married to a man, and over time, like 2 years, discovered that the man was an homosexual, a gay. And I came to him and said, how do I handle this case?
Yes.
Because I have never thought of it.
Yes.
That scenario was strange to me.
Yes.
Though he never answered me. I think it was shocking. But you see, these are based on administration.
That's right.
Because sometimes the person might, you might just say he needs deliverance. Mm. But sometimes it's more than that.
Yes.
It is the way I handled it that could be of a help to another person.
That's
so
exactly.
When we come together, we rub minds on these issues
exactly.
And establish a stronger fellowship.
That's
so
right.
That when bride assembly is here and spoken word is there and the bride fellowship is somewhere there, we are very sure that if you call on this brother, this pastor, he can trash the issue.
God bless you.
And that is the confidence Paul had with Timothy.
That's right.
He had with Titus. That if he even wanted them to come to him. Because
yes.
He himself needed their succor,
yes.
Their comfort of words, and all the fellowship that was needed.
Yes.
That's why he needed them. So this is very important in the end time message too. So we could come together, even to pray, we need some of these things.
It's true.
And
it's true.
The gathering.
Even to pray. Yes.
Even to pray.
And do you know, brother? Do you
even
know
to pray.
That? It just need a start. This thing you
somebody
see,
need to start
if
it.
If you start, we continue like that. The other believers, fellowship, enter message, they will just see that this structure is about God. This thing is about the building of the body.
Yes.
I think we need to just come in as and become cooperating people to let us learn from that. You see, some will become that word submitting, coming into it. And before you know it now, all those unnecessary fights,
we just
move on. Easily ease out because ease now you have had somebody whose motive is not to lord it over the people or to get their money.
Thank you very much. very enriching indeed. We've taken some time to look at this issue of church planting. A very, very explosive, very, very educative, very, very enlightening. And I hope we learn a few things from some of these things we have spoken. And more importantly, that we can also put them to practice, like this minister's meeting, minister's conference, and that Pastor Westin will soon be hosting so that I can give us the idea of what you mean. And see a need for us to go out and spread this gospel.
That's right.
So there is hope for you, the online member, that something is happening. God is creating an awareness that will send out his laborers to come gather you and feed you wherever you are. You are not forgotten. God Amen. Is calling the shots. He's in
Amen.
Control.
Amen.
We will take a short break and come very briefly and look at another topic, very interesting. When we come back, shalom.